Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. We're off and running here on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget that you can listen live at 1450 AM, 96.1 FM on the dial, or we're streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. We're in the TuneIn app, all sorts of way to listen to us live. If you can't catch the live program, we're available at 3 o'clock in a replay situation most days here on the Big X. And then, of course, podcasting. If you miss everything altogether, you can go back and catch any of our shows on Apple Podcast and also on SoundCloud as well. Two easy platforms for you to catch up with what's going on with all of IU sports, specifically basketball, and, of course, things in Southern Indiana as well. Most of the local stuff, as far as our play-by-play coverage, is over for the year. High school baseball wrapped up a few weekends ago. Of course, we're already getting ready for high school football, which I know seems like a long way away. It's really not. It'll be here before you know it. But we do have some activity coming up here, and it's always kind of welcomed activity in a much slower time of the year. We'll have some Little League Baseball that has become widely popular and really good numbers as far as people streaming and listening to it, especially when our local teams make it on to the state tournament rounds and their respective age groups. But we'll be live at the ballpark coming up in early July for 5, 6, 7 or so Little League Baseball, and maybe even some softball games from the District 5 Championship, which is primarily going to be played at Jeffersonville GRC Little Leagues Park in Jeffersonville. And actually, the action begins this week. I think there's some big games tonight. Jeffersonville and New Albany play in the 12-year-old division. That's that main division that eventually works its way all the way to Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League World Series that we will see much later this summer, of course, on the ESPN family of networks. Glad to have you with us today. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we're going to talk some Romeo Langford. Yes, we're going to keep doing that now that he's a Boston Celtics and a professional basketball player and starting his NBA career, as I talked about yesterday, all sorts of fun things. We found out his jersey number yesterday. He's going to wear number 45. He had his introductory press conference yesterday with the other draft class members for the Celtics as well. Tours of the facility. It did seem like from his interview that he had previously taken a visit to Boston, even though he could not work out for him due to the thumb injury. So probably some little bit of familiarity there with the facilities and the practice facility that he's going to be his home for the foreseeable future. But neat stuff. And I mentioned this yesterday as well. I can't fathom what all he's going through, not just the media and the contracts and the paperwork and the testing on the thumb and working out for doctors and checking his health and all the things that go along with being a draft pick, especially one that's coming off of a thumb injury, but finding a place to live in Boston, making new friends, a new routine, a completely new routine, new coaches, new assistant coaches. And in the NBA, it's not just a head coach with a handful of assistant coaches and a weight person. I mean, it's a full staff. You've got medical people. You've got workout people. You've got scouting people. You've got front office people that you deal with. You've got marketing and community relations people that you deal with. So even yesterday, Romeo, after the press conference and after some of the introductory things, he was on a basketball court with kids at one of the youth Boston Celtics events, which again, as a rookie,
and as a professional athlete is something that comes along with the routine. You're expected to be somewhat engaged in the community and attend a lot of events. So I just simply can't imagine what our guy Romeo is going through. A lot of changes. I'm sure this is stuff that he's been well prepared for by his agent, Happy Walters, and that he's dreamed of doing as professional basketball has been his goal since he was a child. But it's all finally happening, and it's all unfolding very quickly in Boston for Romeo Langford. So we're going to talk about Romeo. We're going to have a press conference clip where he answered after the press conference a number of questions. You can't hear all the questions that well, but you can hear Romeo and his answers fine. So I thought you may want to enjoy hearing that. So we'll have that coming up in the first segment for you. And then also a number of IU recruiting things to talk about. I knew it would be a big week for recruiting because coaches could be on the road last weekend, the underclassmen workout that we talked a lot about yesterday, some other events in different states with high school teams, and of course gearing up for the big Charlie Hughes shootout event in Indianapolis this week, which coaches will be able to attend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. So I knew there would be a lot of recruiting stuff, a lot of activity, a lot of who's watching who, and maybe some scholarship offers, but there have been a number of new offers go out so far this week by IU basketball. One came over the weekend, a couple additional offers yesterday. We're going to talk about those in the first segment. And then later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. He's always with us on Tuesdays. We haven't talked to Greg since the draft. It's been a week since Greg was with us. The draft was Thursday. So I'm curious. Greg's an NBA guy. I'm curious what he thinks about Romeo to Boston. I'm curious what he thinks about the situation that Romeo is entering for the Celtics. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Pacers as well, their draft class, and how Greg feels that that went. And then Greg also, I think he's written one column, and he has another one that's still forthcoming, but he spent some time in Milan, Indiana, surrounding the great story, of course, of Milan winning the state championship back in the 50s, and we're going to talk some about that. That's what makes Greg awesome. He's on top of the NBA, the draft, Romeo. He knows about all of it. He writes about all of it, but he still takes time to cover the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star game, and he still takes time to write about high school stories, and he still visits old traditional stuff in our state like Milan and that great story. So we'll talk some about that with Greg when Greg is with us. And then later today, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, he always joins us for a chat on Tuesdays. A lot of recruiting stuff, the new names we talk about here in a few moments. We'll get Mike to give us the latest on those guys. It's some out-of-state names as well, some different names, some names that I'm not familiar with outside of just, you know, following their recruiting a little bit. So we'll talk about that with Mike and get ready for the weekend with maybe where Archie Miller will be and the staff will be at and some of the games that will be going on at the Charlie Hughes shootout, some of the teams and players that will be there that IU will be most focused in. If you really want to see some good summer basketball and you're missing the high school basketball and maybe you used to hit some of the AAU events in the summer to kind of catch up on things or see some of the recruits in person, the Charlie Hughes shootout might be a good replacement for you this summer with all the changes in the recruiting calendar. It's a quick trip up to Indianapolis, and there are going to be lots of big-name prospects, really anybody from within our state. Within reason, there are a couple whose high school teams aren't signed up for whatever reason, but there are going to be a number of players there, seniors-to-be all the way down to the youngest grades in high school, where a lot of great players and prospects and names that you're already beginning to hear about and other names that you will start to hear about if you haven't already from an IU perspective and just a general recruiting perspective in our state will be in action at the great Charlie Hughes shootout this week. So we'll have more on that today and more on that throughout the week as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Let's start today with Romeo Langford out in Boston, introductory press conference yesterday. In fact, as we were coming on the show yesterday at 11 o'clock, Romeo was striding through the Auerbach practice facility in a nice green shirt with a suit on with the Carson Edwards and the rest of the draft class to meet the media for the first time in Boston. So a lot of stuff that Romeo was asked, some of it's familiar, par for the course territory. Other stuff, very interesting. So a nice clip, a number of minutes of various questions to Romeo Langford. These questions happened after the initial sit-down press conference when the players kind of broke off individually. Again, you can't hear all the questions really well, but you can hear Romeo's mic'd up and you can hear all of his answers very clearly. So we want to play that for you now. This is Romeo yesterday in Boston, immediately after he was introduced as a Boston Celtic.
You like the Auerbach Center? This is new. This opened like a year ago.
Yeah, this is my first time being here, too. I didn't take a visit because I couldn't work out, but it's my first time here, and it's real nice.
But Roma, you played with that injury for quite a while. What went into you deciding to play with it? I mean, some guys might have just...
The main thing is I just want to be there for my team. I didn't want to let my team down. I mean, I went to Indiana to play basketball and be there with my brothers, and I didn't want them to think that I was just sitting out. And when I know I could play and play through it, and also I just couldn't not play basketball for that long of a time. When I know I could play through it, and that's just the way I was raised. This would be tough mind to be able to play through stuff like that. And that's really what it came down to.
How much have you experienced with something like that? And how much did it?
I mean, it was a whole new experience. I mean, nobody plays with basketball with like a cast on their thumb and like kind of invaded me be able to feel the ball and have control of the ball sometimes. So it took a lot to get used to. So I feel like it was kind of harder to shoot because of a whole different feeling of the ball without using your thumb or anything. But I feel like towards the end of the season, like second half, that's when I started getting like more used to it. And I feel like I started shooting the ball better towards the second half too.
You said Thursday that you just started dribbling and shooting recently.
Yes, sir.
When exactly was that, and how has that progressed, if at all, since you started?
It was like about like a week and a half ago.
Okay.
So doctor just cleared me to start shooting and stuff. So, I mean, she wants me to shoot, like get used to touching it and stuff. Just don't get too like overboard with it to like where my thumb starts hurting again. So if it starts hurting, that's when I need to stop and take a break.
Sometimes when people have an injury like that, they start to overcompensate. They start sometimes change their mechanics. Mm-hmm. Did it affect your mechanics? Do you have to get back to it?
Honestly, yeah, I say it kind of did. I felt like I had to switch my shot up a little bit to make it go in just because I couldn't feel it as normally. So like now that's like one of my big focuses. I want to get back on the court to get my mechanics back to my shot to get it back to where it used to be.
I know there's a couple of years separation, but you know, we're not playing basketball in Indiana. Do you hear a lot about Brad Stevens? Do you hear a lot about Gordon Haywood back there? And
oh yeah,
would you like to be here now, knowing that you're going
to be here? Yeah, actually, I heard a lot about Brad Stevens when he made it to the tournament with Butler and Gordon Haywood. Actually, they beat my high school in semi-state, I believe, 1 year, and I think that was like. Like the year New Albany was real good, so like I was kind of following that, but I didn't know Gordon Hayward at the time. But looking back at it, it's kind of cool because in my New Albany high school locker room, they have a picture of like Gordon Hayward actually on the free throw line at semi-state.
And again, some of the audio
when they're playing against New Albany. So
Doug, does it still have some
cool
left?
Now have him being my teammate.
Okay, is that the end of it? Okay, all right. The audio got cut off there, but. Again, you heard Romeo even talking about the New Albany High School locker room. I thought the clip was longer than that. There must have been two clips. So if there's more, we'll get it to you later. But some interesting stuff. Some of the stuff is questions Romeo gets on a regular basis. And obviously, because it's new reporters, a new set of guys is getting to know beat reporters, getting to know Romeo and trying to learn his background and really as much as they possibly can about him as quickly as they can. But some other interesting stuff about the mechanics being changed of his shot. And again, about just opening up a new chapter, new facilities, everything that goes along with a new home for him. So interesting stuff on Romeo. That stuff's going to continue. A lot of introductory things, as you can imagine, for a new player that he will get to go through, and I can't imagine how many local people, and I've said this yesterday, but Southern Indiana, New Albany area people that followed Romeo, IU fans that followed Romeo and will continue to follow him from this state, from this area, that are following the Boston Celtics and their social media posting. And, you know, we think Indiana does a terrific job, especially in the off season, of providing content and updates on guys, and obviously keeping everybody excited in the off season. And of course, the NBA is going to be even better. They have a full time staff to work on that sort of thing. So it seems like every hour there's a new photo, there's a new update, there's something from the Celtics and their social media platforms. And I'm sure that, like me, being shared and retweeted and reposted and everything else by all sorts of people in the area. So the Celtics have picked up a lot of viewership, a lot of fans, a lot of followers of Romeo as well, since he's been there for the last couple days. Celtics, I mentioned this yesterday, begin summer league play coming up in the first week and a half of July out in Las Vegas. And there were some comments yesterday from Danny Ainge of the Celtics that Romeo still has to be fully evaluated by the Celtics medical staff, and of course an update on the thumb to determine if he can play in the summer league. But it sounds like as long as there are no hangups there, we'll see Romeo Langford in action out in Las Vegas for what I think is fun. I mean, it's good basketball. Those players are playing hard. They're trying to earn a spot into the rotation if they were a drafted player. And in a lot of cases in that summer league, you've got some great college players who didn't get drafted in the first or second round. Maybe they got picked up by a team. Maybe they're trying to work their way to a preseason roster spot for the, you know, the, I guess, a camp, the opening camp type situation. But you get guys that are playing with a lot on the line when you're dealing with younger first couple year players and draftees and others that are trying to get into the NBA. And there's some foreign teams they bring in to play some showcase games in the league as well. So looking forward to it. I hopefully, knock on wood, for Romeo's sake, that he can get some summer league action under his belt, because again, even though it matters and he's, you know, going to be judged on what he does, it is meaningless basketball as far as wins and losses. So for him to get out there and get back, you know, into shape and get some shots up, getting back to his traditional shot, I know that's been a big conversation piece about Romeo returning from the thumb injury. That will be fun. So let's hope that Romeo is able to make his way into the Boston Celtics summer league rotation. I know they had practice over the weekend. They announced their coach last week of the summer league team. And, of course, Romeo's still waiting to get cleared, that sort of thing, before he could join the summer league team and practices and preparations. But let's hope that that happens. I know that Romeo would like to be back out on the court and get his start as a Celtic in the summer league. And I know a lot of fans would like to help pass this off season in the summer with no meaningful basketball or NBA or NCAA or high school stuff, with watching Romeo on ESPN and ESPN2 coming up here in a few weeks from Las Vegas. Couple recruiting notes. I said we were going to get to some IU stuff, and we will here in just a minute. But locally, I want to mention a couple players recently that have picked up scholarship offers. Floyd Central junior-to-be, Jake Heidbreeder, a member of the class of 2021. He had a really good June. I really, in summer league and all the games we hosted at New Albany, I can't think of a player that stands out more than Jake Heidbreeder in the month of June. He really was unstoppable. I didn't see anybody on any team, any level, Louisville, Southern Indiana, big school, medium school, small school, that could find a way to slow him down. Great shooter, great player, great ceiling for where he could get in his high school career, and I feel the same for his college recruiting as well. He picked up his first Division I scholarship offer from Indiana State a few days ago. Floyd Central recently played up there as well in the summer, so those things kind of go together sometime. Jake Heidbreeder, a D1 offer, I would expect, as he plays on the rest of this month and, of course, into July with his AAU team, that other Division I programs, I know Evansville, the Highlanders played there earlier this month, looking at him as well, wouldn't surprise me if he picks up a couple additional offers coming up by the end of the summer. Also, a little to our west, but North Harrison has a good junior to be as well. Langdon Hatton, of course, he's playing for new coach Lou LaFay, the former Providence coach. He picked up a Division I scholarship offer as well from Ball State. Always nice to see local players, in addition to Trey Kaufman, in addition to Cooper Jacoby and others, pick up some not just scholarship offers, but Division I scholarship offers. We have a lot of talent. It's widespread here in the area right now. Really, even all the way over to Evansville, a lot of talent right now in Southern Indiana, moving through the area, which is going to make for some great high school basketball coming up later this winter. IU stuff, a number of new names to remember in the class of 2020, a scholarship offer yesterday to a player named Jalen Bridges. He is from Fairmont, West Virginia. He attends Fairmont High School. Again, he's a member of the 2020 class, so he'll be a senior for next year, a two-time state champion at Fairmont in West Virginia, and he plays for Wildcats Select, which is kind of a collection of some Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia guys that play together in the Under Armour circuit, I believe it is, in the spring and summer. So Jalen Bridges of Fairmont, West Virginia, another name to remember in this offseason. Also, in the 2021 class, which is a really good class here in Indiana. I mean, it's a good class in Southern Indiana, and it's a really good class across the state of Indiana. I mean, there are going to be a number of players, I think, when it's all said and done, from within the state borders that are highly ranked or at least ranked nationally in the top 100 by the time this thing is all said and done and these guys get a little older. But IU not only involved with a lot of guys in the state, in the class of 2020, they are beginning to get involved with a couple big names from out of the state as well. One of those names is Trey Patterson. He's from Rutgers Prep in New Jersey, plays for Team Rio on the AAU circuit. He was recently at the NBA Players Association camp, which is where IU coaches really focused in on him. 6'8", 205 pounds, and he is number 15 in the country nationally in the 2021 class, according to the latest 247 sports rankings. He picked up a scholarship offer from Archie Miller and IU yesterday as well. So he's not just a big name in the 2021 class, a talented player in that class. He's someone that's already broken through to the national level as well, and he has a number of other big programs that are already on him, even as a youngster. But IU joining the mix, IU offering another young player. So a number of offers, you would expect a number of offers, I think, at this point in the 2020 class of guys that are going to be seniors for next season, but a number of offers beginning to stack up as well for IU in the 2021 class as well. And another name to remember, Bryce Hopkins of Fenwick, Illinois, plays for Fenwick High School. It's actually in Oak Park, Illinois. 6'7", 220 pounds, small forward, a 2021 guy as well. He was offered over the weekend after Archie Miller watched him with his high school team in an event over the weekend. Those are the headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, is next. We'll talk Romeo Langford to Boston. We'll get Greg's thoughts and a lot more with Greg Doyle after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Tuesdays, we have the opportunity to be joined by Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing, Highway 311 in Sellersburg. It may be temporarily closed, but Coffee Crossing in Sellersburg is still open and brewing great coffee daily. Greg, we've talked so much about Romeo Langford, and he continues to dominate the conversations I have on this program each day now that his NBA destination is officially set. And this is our first time to talk since last Thursday's draft, where Romeo went as the number 14 pick in the lottery to the Boston Celtics. I'm curious how you see the Boston fit. Everybody seems to be excited and think generally it's a good fit for Romeo. How does Greg Doyle weigh in on that?
Well, Brad Stevens has, he's got a guy from Butler, and now he's got a guy from IU, and he got the guy from Purdue, too. He got Carson Edwards. So that alone is just fascinating. It's fun. I tell you, Romeo's in great hands. I can't think of, I mean, there's not a single better coach in the NBA for him to be, for any college player, to be starting their career off than with Brad Stevens. I mean, the guy was a great college coach, is a great NBA coach, and knows how to develop talent and all that. So it's, you know, I'm not sure if there's a bad spot for him to have gone, although I hear Detroit wasn't going to be met with Miles and the Romeo Langford household. That was the place they didn't want to go. But they're not a really bad place to go, but, boy, I'm not sure I would have picked a better one.
Were you surprised to see him with all the projections, some low, some high, some in the lottery, some out of the lottery, some way out of the lottery? I think number 21, 22, Sports Illustrated have him at. Were you surprised to see him go at number 14 and be salvaged as a lottery pick, or did you feel like he might go in that range?
Well, I mean, I was a little bit surprised. It seemed like he was going to go somewhere between, 14 is about as high as I think. Based on all the projections, 14 is about the highest he could have gone based on what we were reading. And I will tell you this, that his agent was freaking out near the draft because Romeo turned down, well, the agent, whoever, turned down the Pacers. Like, we're not coming to speak with you guys. Not to be rude, it was just he's not falling to 18, so we're not wasting your time. We're not wasting Romeo's time. So Romeo never met with the Pacers, and they asked him to come to town to meet with them. Well, his agent was freaking out as the draft appeared, wondering, did he screw up? Should he have sent Romeo to Indianapolis? Because he did not want Romeo falling past 18. I mean, he was scared. So, and that's a fact. So you don't ask me how I know that. I just know that. So I'm just telling you, it wasn't a surprise, I guess, to people that he went 14, but it was no sure thing. I'll put it that way.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. I know that he has to be cleared by medical staff, and I guess even if you show up 100% healthy with no wrap on your thumb or no history of a thumb injury that you played through and battled through in your college freshman season, I guess everybody goes through a health check, a physical, as you would expect. I think that's pretty much the same in high school, college, and of course professional, probably even more so of a health check with high-tech equipment and personal doctors and things like that, that Romeo has. I guess at IU they have a personal doctor for the team and things like that. But you've got to believe it's even more at the NBA level. But any player is going to go through that, assuming that things check out with his thumb and he's healed, and it would seem that time, at least, enough time has passed. And there have been a lot of rumblings from people that, Romeo's been doing some shooting, and he's been, and it sounds like there's even been public discussions about, working on his mechanics and getting back to his original shot before his form, before the injury. So I assume that there's been some level of workouts going on, even if they have not been for NBA teams leading up to the draft. And Romeo made comments even on draft night that he expected and hoped to play in the summer league for the Celtics once he was drafted. Do you think Romeo plays? I mean, I guess the only reason he wouldn't play would be if he still is not cleared because of the thumb, because of the hand. There would be no other reason that a rookie, a lottery pick, somebody that has to earn their spot and their place would not play in the summer league, right?
There's a reason why he wouldn't play. Sure there is. If I had to, I know about the agent. So I know that. When I know something, I'll tell you I know it. When I just think it, I'll tell you I think it. I don't think he's going to play in summer league. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him work out. I'm not a doctor. I wasn't at Holiday Inn Express last night. I don't know that. But he and first of all, let's make this clear. This is not Andrew Luck 2.0. This is not. Is he ever going to play again? This is not that. I mean, I'm close to that. I shouldn't even have made that analogy because it's not in the same ballpark as that. But what it is awkward timing. Summer camp's coming up pretty soon. And what you don't want to do with any young player, but especially a young player who didn't shoot that well at college and really doesn't need anything in his head right now, what you don't do is unleash him against the biggest, strongest, fastest competition he's faced yet, which is Summer League. And, of course, it'll get much more in the NBA, but Summer League is, it's elite college players and a couple of NBA rookies. You don't put him out there if he's not completely ready to go. And I just think it's a little bit much to ask, and I suspect the Celtics will agree with this, or already think this, a little bit much to ask to put him out there, with this surgically repaired thumb. Let's get your shot honed, and now let's get you on the court real fast. This is a long-term deal. He's not a one-year rental. You pick anybody 14th in the lottery, but especially a kid with Romeo's potential, and that's an investment you value, and I don't think they're valuing it if they put him on a summer league court.
Talking to Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, our chat with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Along the lines of the draft, a couple other questions. First off, I know in addition to Romeo to Boston and, of course, the Brad Stevens connection, which you've already mentioned, and then you've got Gordon Hayward and some other Indiana connections from the state on the team. But I know enough about you and our conversations each Tuesday and how you feel about both of these young men, but I know you had to just get the willies almost when you knew that Romeo Langford and Carson Edwards, rivals from their colleges in the Big Ten, were drafted by the same team and would be teammates.
Those guys are going to get along so well because they're not – neither one of them is they don't have the superstar ego. Neither one of them does. Now, Carson's a little more flamboyant than Romeo, a little bit more outgoing and that sort of thing, but he's I know him pretty well. I mean, how could you not? How could you not have my job and not know that guy? Because you talk to him so much that when he worked out for the Pacers about a month ago, he did his thing with the media, and I was sitting around there, and then he starts to walk off, and he sees me coming, and he starts smiling and goes, "Of course you're coming." Because I did that to him at Purdue for 2 years, is every time he would talk to the media, I would then walk him away from everybody else and get him alone. So he's just a great kid, and Romeo's a great kid, and they're going to get along just fine because there's not going to be – neither one of them is an alpha male. There's not going to be any competition over which one of us is dominant. There's none of that. We don't know what's going to happen in free agency. Although Boston, I mean, Danny Ainge is no fool, so they're going to get some players. But right now, their backcourt, at the exact moment we're talking about, their backcourt is, I guess, Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, and that's not tenable. Marcus Smart's not your starting point guard, so there's opportunity for Carson, barring them signing a great point guard, which they probably will. And Romeo is going to be, I mean, they're not going to go sign a shooting guard. They got Jaylen Brown. Romeo's the backup. I mean, he's going to get minutes.
Great stuff. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. While we're on the draft, how do you see the Pacers draft class? How did you see the night go for Indiana?
Well, I'm of two minds of it, and I wrote two stories in 2 days, and they're both kind of a little bit different, but you might even say contradictory, which I do from time to time. But the night it happened, I didn't understand it at all, not at all. And nobody did. The Pacers, their draft class is one person, Goga Batadze, one guy. And he's the one guy they, on paper, don't need. All Indiana really has, I mean, they've got Oladipo, who's injured, and they have two 6'11 bigs, two of them, and they can't figure out how to play them together. So if you look at that on paper, you say, well, what's the one thing they don't need? A 6'11 big. Well, that's who they drafted. And he's not a 6'11 big, even though he's European. He's not a small forward. I mean, he's a center. He's as much of a center as Sabonis is. So it makes no sense. Now, having said that, after talking to Kevin Pritchard the next day and meeting Goga and actually having some time to dig into it, because the night of the draft, I mean, the pick happens at 9:30, my deadline's 10:30, I got 1 hour, and here's what I think, and I think it makes no sense at all. Well, with 24 hours to think about it and talk to people and really, really think about it, I see what Kevin Pritchard's thinking. And what he's thinking is they're picking 18th, and the pickings are slim at 18. I mean, you just go back through history. Once you get out of the lottery, it's slim. There's one guy he saw on the draft board, one, that he thought could be special, one. And so what if he plays a position they already have? If nothing else, that's an asset, or he makes Sabonis or Miles Turner someday an asset you could trade. There's value in having a great talent. He thinks this kid's a great talent, and after looking at his production and his age and his trajectory, I mean, the guy was 15 years old and kicking men's rear ends in Serbia. I mean, he's 19 now and was kicking men's rear ends all over Europe. So he's going to be pretty good. I get it now. The Pacers are going to sting next year. But there was nobody at 18 that was going to really change that.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented each week by Coffee Crossing. Speaking of the Pacers, and I just caught the headline on, and it may have been on Kyle Neddenrip's, it may have been from Twitter, because he was talking about the Indiana All-Stars looking for a home next summer for the Indiana side of the Indiana-Kentucky game, and I was like, what's he talking about? And then I saw a story from the Star, and this wasn't obviously your story, but the Fever aren't going to be able to play there for the next two summers as well. There's, some renovation and construction going on, is that right?
Yeah, they're building a skating rink of some sort. You know, I don't know. It's very strange. But, yeah, this happens in the WNBA. Of course, it doesn't happen in the NBA, I don't think. Although the Atlanta Hawks, I feel like the Atlanta Hawks might have been displaced for a year or two, so maybe it does happen. But in the WNBA, teams, you know, arenas need work, and usually there are no arenas dedicated just to a WNBA team. So usually they have a high leverage, high monetized tenant, and then they also have the WNBA team. So if you're going to make reservations, when are you going to do it? Well, you're not going to do it when the Pistons are playing. You're going to do it when the Detroit Shock or whatever they are playing. So anyway, they got to fix this thing up. They're getting ready for an All-Star game in a couple years. I mean, they're trying to get ready for that, and the Fever, you know, it's a game of musical chairs, and they lose. So go have a seat somewhere else. So I don't know where they're going to play, and I don't know where the All-Star game is going to be played. I mean, I assume Hinkle Fieldhouse is going to be where both of them end up, but that's just a guess. I don't know.
That'd be pretty cool. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, I know I'm going a little late with you. I hope that's okay. If you've got something to do, just cut me off. But you know I love you. You know I think you're a great writer. No, this is it's getting even better. You know, some people say, oh, you're too nice to Greg Doyle. He cuts you off sometime. You shouldn't be as nice to him. Well, I
cut you off ever.
It's okay. You're the star of the show. I'm just the guy asking questions. That's what I want. But this is why I love you for real, because not only are you what a sports columnist in Indianapolis should be, that covers all the big stuff and has unique takes and is funny and takes time to come on a little show in Southern Indiana, et cetera, but you go to high school stuff when you can. You've called me before from high school games because you know that's my area of interest, and I don't want to say expertise at all, but I do know a lot of the people or the players, and I can tell the passion and the intrigue you have trying to figure out a story. And then I read columns like the one recently from Milan's Miracle that where you stopped by for I guess were you a speaker at like a luncheon they had or something? But my point is that you take time to go visit historical things as well, like the 1953 Milan team. So you could tell us a little bit about those columns.
Well, thank you. I really thank you. I've got two 1954 related Milan stories. One of them ran Sunday about Fillmore. Fillmore, smaller than Milan, smaller school than Milan, town and school, smaller. They were two games away from playing Milan. They got to the final 32 or 16, right, whatever they got to. They were two games away from playing at Hinkle, or Butler Fieldhouse, as it was called, and lost, and feel like they got screwed in that loss, and there's an argument to be made that they did. Well, I talked to the three last living members of the starting five, and just to ask them, you know, could you have been Milan, and is it hard to watch Milan be Milan? No one even knows who Fillmore is. It doesn't even exist anymore. So that was a cool story, and they were great. And then I was in the Milan 65th reunion over the weekend at Milan. And while I was there, they let me speak. And I wanted to tell those guys, you know, they had about 80 people there, and Lord knows nobody was there to hear me talk. But as I told them, when you get older, and I raised my hand and said, I'm in that group, you start to wonder about your footprints and what you left behind, and does it still matter? Do people care? Are people going to remember? And I wanted those players to know, from my perspective, as an outsider coming in, that I had no idea how much they mattered until I got here, and then I saw it, and I mean, it's incredible. And I just wanted them to know that you know, because they're dying. Several players weren't there because they're gone. These guys are dying, and I want them to know that you left behind something that's going to outlive all of us. So that was nice. They let me say that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, hey, final thing, I meant to bring this up last week kind of along the lines of history, and I guess it's okay to say this on the air, but you had forwarded me an email from a reader of yours that I believe resides, or at one time resided, here in Southern Indiana. I have no idea if they listen to this show or not, and that's any connection as to knowing you or listening or emailing, reaching out to you. But they know that you do care about the history of things and basketball and things like that, and they ask about a gymnasium here locally at Mount St. Francis out towards Floyd's Knobs. And obviously, being a younger guy, I said, Greg, I can't help you. I reached out to David Barksdale, who's the Floyd County historian, and a couple other older folks that kind of knew that stuff or might be aware of somebody that would, and really didn't get any takers. Even his county historian in Floyd County wasn't. He knew a lot about Mount St. Francis. He didn't know anything about a building that used to be the gymnasium. So maybe somebody listening knows if there was or it, what building it was or what. But can you did you find anything out about that? I know I'm
no, and I'm told it still is. I'm told it still is a gym, and it's just one of those kind of in our state. You know, the gyms are the biggest star sometimes of the players and the coaches because they're just so unusual. And I've got a story I'm working on right now about just some crazy gym up in Michigan town, which is about an hour north of Indy. I'm writing it as you know before you called. I'm writing, and I'm going to keep writing when we hang up. That's on my list. In the summer, I travel around and look for cool places and cool things that kind of speak about Indiana's history, and if it's related to basketball, all the better. And that's just a reader knows that, and they talk about that. So I hope someone out there knows about this bizarre little gym at a Franciscan church, because if it still exists, and I think it does, I mean, the reader thinks it does, I got to come down there and see it and then write it.
Yeah, so again, if somebody listening knows anything about a gymnasium that we think still is or used to be a gymnasium on the campus of Mount St. Francis, which I know is still active and still has events and things there, get a hold of me or get a hold of Greg, and while Greg's down here, we'll buy you a cup of coffee. It'd be a great way to get Greg down and finally have coffee with Doyle at Coffee Crossing, the longtime
sponsor. I've been there before.
Sponsor, so.
Sugar-free dark chocolate. I've had it, baby.
Hey,
I've been there. I know.
Hey, I've got it, and it's not even sugar-free. It's dark chocolate. I asked about that. I said, "Give me a Greg Doyle." When I was in there one day, I said, "They said, what is that?" "Oh, it's the dark chocolate." I said, "Yeah, but it's sugar-free. I got to go all the way if I'm going to do it. I've got to go with what Greg says to get." They said, "We don't have a sugar-free. We think that Greg asked for the thing that had the least sugar or something in it." So. We got to correct that so we don't mess up their marketing.
Okay, well, I apologize for that. Maybe it's just wishful thinking on my part. Maybe that's a lie I told myself to allow myself to have. Hey, this is sugar-free, Greg. You can have this. And now I've actually, over the years, I've come to believe it. So that's probably my fault.
No problem. If we hear more about the gym at Mount St. Francis, we'll be in touch, okay?
Sounds good. Tell me about that over a big cup of chocolate coffee. Good.
All right, Greg. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Matt. Bye.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis star. A lot of fun to have him with us on Tuesdays. Now that the weather has changed, it's obviously a lot warmer. Finally, we hope the rain has resided and it's warmed up a lot. Don't forget, you can still get all your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice at Coffee Crossing with four area locations here in Southern Indiana. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk IU basketball, specifically recruiting with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. It's a big week. Last weekend was. This weekend is as well for the college coaches to be on the road. High school-oriented events. We're going to talk about some new prospects that are getting offers from Archie Miller and the IU program. We'll do that next with Mike right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we are back, final segment on this Tuesday program. It's Pegs himself, Mike Pegram of the Pegs.com website, who is with us Tuesdays to talk IU basketball and more. And Mike, I've been talking earlier in the program about all this big recruiting activity going on right now and a lot of new names of targets, including a handful of guys, I think three to be exact, new scholarship offers since the weekend that have went out from the program to 2020 or 2021 prospects across the country. But before we do that, for just a moment, I did not mention this earlier, and I meant to. I got a chance to watch most of the game last night. I'm just absolutely enthralled with Michigan's success at the College World Series. They downed perennial power Vanderbilt last night. They play again tonight, and of course, it's a 1-0 Michigan edge right now. If Michigan can win one of the next two potential games, Michigan is the College World Series champion, which is just crazy to even think about being a possibility. A team from the Big Ten, a team from the northern part of the country. What would a Michigan College World Series win mean for Big Ten Conference baseball?
It'd be huge. I mean, there's a kind of an attitude that kind of need to go a little bit farther south to be good, or out west where the weather's better and kids play year round to be at a college program that can get to Omaha. But that would kind of break through that stereotype, which would open doors, I I think, and a little bit more for Indiana and the other Big Ten baseball programs. I mean, it's just, you know, they've made some real progress in getting bids, and Indiana, of course, got to the World Series 5 or 6 years ago, and this would be the biggest breakthrough kind of moment for the league.
I mean, just go back to the end of the IU baseball regular season. Indiana was second place in the Big Ten Conference. They went to Michigan. They won two out of three games to position themselves basically to a tie in the Big Ten Conference. And then thanks to IU's success in the final series, and Michigan had a couple other flub-ups, you know, Indiana won the Big Ten Conference. It's just crazy to think that that Michigan team is in the College World Series and is really a win away from being the winner, the champion.
Well, baseball's a little bit different than other sports. You can kind of get hot on a roll and have a pitching staff maybe that's kind of carries you, but they've been doing with their bats. I mean, they've been scoring runs in Ameritrade Park, which is like really hard to do because hitting homers in that park is much harder than most of these campus stadiums. And what they've been doing is just amazing. They just pick the right time to get hot. That's all I got to say. And you know, Michigan does have some tradition. I mean, you know, Larkin played there, and they've had some really good success. Just have to go back a ways, and it's a great university. So I don't think it's a huge surprise, but you know, given what we saw, Indiana knocking them off and getting the regular season title, nobody would have predicted that the Wolverines would be where they are.
Yeah, I love the College World Series. I wish I had time to watch a lot more of the games and what I have. I watched Louisville's games and, of course, a couple Vanderbilt games. But I don't think any of us say this, and I'm sure any listeners of this program don't say this, but go Wolverines tonight. I'd love to see a Big Ten College World Series champion. I think it would just be fantastic. Mike, let's talk some IU basketball recruiting. Big week. Coaches on the road last week at high school events. Coaches on the road again this weekend at high school events. And, of course, the Charlie Hughes shootout is the big one in Indiana with like 105 or more varsity teams. And it's hard for me to find a high school team not in there that has a potential IU player, target, prospect, young, old. Most of them seem to be participating in that event this weekend. But before we get there, some new scholarship offers to talk about, some new names. And these are out-of-state names, actually. Three offers by my count that the program has offered since the weekend. Let's start with Bryce Hopkins. He's a member of the 2021 class, so he'll be a junior when school resumes here later this summer, later in a few months, depending on the school. But he gets an offer from IU, 6'7", 220, small forward. Archie and staff saw him in the Chicago area at a high school shootout this weekend.
Yeah, I believe they saw him maybe Friday night. Liked what they saw, and going ahead and extended the offer. Early stages, but it's good leverage for some of these kids that they'll recruit in state, and already we've talked about quite a bit. He's from Oak Park, and he worked. I think he plays for the Mokan Elite program, I think, which is the Jawan Morgan played for that, and so there's connections there with coaches in that program, and they've been to a lot of games at Bloomington. So he's a big body 40 forward, kind of a old school kind of player. So really kind of a, you know, good match for what Indiana needs.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, my guest. Another player that received an offer, and I'm going to stay with the younger players, 2021 prospect, ranked number 15 in the country at this point. His name is Trey Patterson. He's from Rutgers, New Jersey. Team Rio AAU was at the NBA Players Association camp a few weeks ago. 6'8", 205 pounds. You saw him play. Now he's got an IU offer.
Yeah, he's a big-time prospect. You know, out there in New Jersey, which is an area that you can recruit to. I was talking to a well-known head basketball coach over the weekend about how you go into you know, that area of the country and find guys, and you know, it's it because there's no loyalty like we see back here with you know, a Kentucky or Indiana kind of loyalty, and you know, he's We're 6'8", 205 pounds, and really potential professional player. So this is a big addition for anybody. But, you know, again, really early in the process because he's just a junior to be.
And another player, this guy will be a senior, 2020 wing forward, Jalen Bridges. He's from West Virginia and someone that Archie Miller has watched. He picks up an offer yesterday as well from the program.
Yeah, I got to see him quite a bit this year, both at in Dallas and before that, he was at Warren Central High School for that early Adidas qualifier. And, you know, he's just shot the lights out. He's kind of thick for a 6'7"-ish type forward, but kind of has a perimeter game and can score in other ways, but can really get hot with his jump shot. And again, the need for shooting in Indiana is paramount, and he would fit the bill and help right away. And again, he's 2020, so he would be a little bit quicker help, and he's farther along in his recruiting process.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. All these prospects we're talking about, Mike and Jeff, have them profiled at the Peaks.com website. You can find more in-depth stories and information on all of those guys at the Peaks.com site. Mike, it's always great to check to catch up. Coaches will be back out on the road this weekend. A lot of prospects at the Charlie Hughes shootout, which will take place essentially in northern Indianapolis. And I know that will give us plenty of content to talk about next week coming out of the weekend from that as well. So I look forward to it.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'll have plenty to give you scouting reports on some of these guys with their high school teams.
Absolutely. Great. Mike, thanks so much for the chat. We'll talk to you then.
All right, Matt. Take care.
And that's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. Greg Doyle, Mike Pegram, always with us Tuesdays. Two of the most solid guests as far as information and content that you will find. They join us on Tuesdays. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock for the Wednesday edition of our program. Don't forget, if you miss our show, please check us out on Apple Podcasts. Just search The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. And if you would, leave us a rating. Hopefully it's a good rating. And a review as well. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in a radio show and a podcast about IU and Southern Indiana sports. Have a great day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. This is The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.